Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? We back again for another episode. Another week has gone by since the last time we met. I want to say thank you, everybody, for coming back. And I hope you had a good week from last week. As I always say, I hope everything went the way you wanted it to go. And if it didn't, hey, it's another week for you to make sure or put some things in place to help it go the way you want it to go. So it ain't over. Don't let go of the rope. We back, yo. It's Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We got another great episode for you today. We're going to learn like we always say. But what's today's topic? We're going to be talking about avoiding exploitation. And exactly what do we mean by exploitation? Hey, we always set a basis for the show as we go forward with a definition. So what exactly does exploitation mean? Exploitation means to be taken advantage of, potentially to be put in a situation that is adversarial to you and what you need to do, but you really don't have any choice in a sense. Well, you do have a choice, but it's almost like with the exploitation, not taking the choice is actually worse than the choice itself. It's kind of like the old saying, stuck between a rock and a hard place. Hey, a rock is a hard place, and a hard place is a hard place. So it's like, which choice do I take? Which one is better than the other? If you don't take one or you take the other, either way, you're going to be short at some point. So that's where the exploitation piece comes in, because it's kind of like, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. And that's what we're talking about. So we're trying to avoid these things. Let's see, exploitation means to use someone unfairly. And it's usually to the other person's advantage. And if it's to the other person's advantage, it's going to be to your disadvantage. A lot of different ways somebody can be exploited. Just a couple examples. We can say you can be exploited for your money. Hey, we can say you can be exploited for your time. Could be sexual favors. Just any sort of things that somebody else is going to benefit from the work of your shoulders or putting you in an adverse situation. So, again, we got exploitation. Like we always say, we set the basis for the definition, and we're going to live by that throughout today's episode. In this episode, we're going to talk about several different instances of being exploited, how they're kind of all connected, and we're going to provide some basis or some reasons, justifications, possibilities on how we can not be exploited. Succumb with some tasks to overcome, but we're going to use some examples from pop culture, everyday living, movies, and we're going to strategize this thing, y'all. You know how we do. But before we do, you know, we're going to take this break and we're going to come back and we're going to politic avoiding exploitation. Hey, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Be back in a minute. Yo, 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 we're back from the intermission. If you're still here with us, thank you. And if you just joined, the topic of the day is simply stated as avoiding exploitation. We gave a definition already, and we're going to get right to it. So, like I like to do on this show, I pull stuff from pop culture, current events, old events, new events, daily occurrences in our lives, all sorts of stuff. So to get this thing started, we're going to talk about exploitation to just people. We're going to talk about black people in particular. So here's the story. Back in like 2018 in a neighborhood in Chicago, Englewood, as a matter of fact. So what had happened was, as we say, a little joke, but what happened was there was a bait truck, we call it. What exactly is a bait truck? So what happened was there was a truck full of Christian Louboutin shoes, Nike shoes, was just dropped off in this Englewood neighborhood in Chicago. Just dropped in the middle of the hood. And in this neighborhood in particular, very crime-ridden, low income, a lot of people in poverty-stricken situations. And the police decide, as part of one of their operations, to cut back on shipments of goods being stolen. Their remedy to fix the problem was to put this truck in the middle of the hood. Now, we're talking about exploitation. And we already know, like I said, with the definition of exploitation, we're talking about one situation that you may choose may change the other situation, but may put you in a worse situation. So either way, you're just choosing a rock or a hard place and going from there. So let's talk about this situation. We know in the hood, a lot of people struggle with decision making, and not just because they just want to be wayward, but just because of life circumstances make them choose certain things. So if we know that people are struggling with eating, having a roof over their head, paying bills, so you drop a bait truck filled with goods. Now, we know stealing is wrong, but if you have a choice between stealing or going hungry for the night, most people are probably going to choose seeing what's in this truck. So what do? They open up the truck and they find a whole bunch of goods in the truck. So now here comes the exploitation part. So they were preyed upon. The police put this truck in the middle of the hood, knowing the circumstances that exist, in an effort to stop crime, as they say. Now, just imagine you want to stop crime in a neighborhood. So what you do is you create more crime in order to stop crime. So let's just say you got little kids who would actually had no access to this truck whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they say the bait truck was very close to a neighborhood or a park where young kids are playing basketball. So these are already some kids who don't have much. And if they pop this truck open and find these sneakers, hey, many of them don't have adequate footwear. You're talking about a kid putting this truck in front of a kid who might be wearing a size 7, supposedly, but might only have a size 5 on their feet. So what is the kid going to do if they see these sneakers? Most cases, you're going to put the sneakers on if you are the one who popped this truck. And even if you're not the one who popped the truck, if somebody else popped the truck and then they got the sneakers and then they give you the sneakers, guess what? Now you're in possession of stolen goods. You could be sent to jail for that same very reason. So to think that the police are going to put the possibility of crime to be created or committed in the neighborhood where it's likely to happen anyway, and then penalize the people who commit the atrocities, or I'm not necessarily atrocity, but commit the crime, that's entrapment, or like I'm saying, exploitation. So we're even under attack from people who are supposed to be protecting us. Now, if your true motive was to stop crime, you don't need to create crime to stop crime. What I say, if we're talking about, again, we're talking about a problem that exists. And on this show, Level Up with Ryan Hodge, we talk about solutions to the problems. So if this police officers, this district or cops precinct or whatever, if they truly want to stop crime in this neighborhood, creating more crime and then locking people up, and then that's more people away from their families, which is probably going to have them at a deficit, which is probably going to prolong more crime being created, because then it's going to be a lack of resources for that family member who may have been caught up in this thing. So what could have happened, since we talk about solutions on this show? The resources they took to put the truck in the neighborhood and set up the sting and surveillance hours and all that good stuff. How about investigate the problems of the hood? What's going on? Is it education? Is it lack of job opportunities, money, whatever it is? Take the time to think about and research what's going on and why are people acting the way they're acting. And then once you come up with that problem, once you say these are the problems, this is the reasons why they're doing what they're doing, now it's time to put the solutions in place. So if that's resources, if it's money, jobs, whatever it is, at that point, you can drop those resources in the hood and take that avenue to stop the crime in the neighborhood as opposed to creating more crime or the possibility for more crime to be created and then locking them up from there. I mean, you're just part of the problem if you're doing that. And when I came across this story, it was actually stood out to me crazily because I actually wrote a book a few years back called Black Boy Lost, Black Girl Adrift. And the main happenings of the story or the whole premise of the whole story is basically you have two students in a bad neighborhood. They're actually good kids and they fall victim to just things that are happening in the neighborhood, even though they're not a part of it specifically, but they're a part of it because it's from a proximity standpoint. They just fall victim to the things that happen. Now, one chapter in this book, I actually speak about something called the bait bike. Now, in this situation, it was a bike that was set up outside of one of the stores in the neighborhood. And a random neighbor or neighborhood cat, he stole a bike. The police chased him down. And then before you know it, he was blaming the other guy who had nothing to do with it. And then a lot of the story's drama goes from that point. But the reason why I put the bait bike in there is because this is a thing that happens all the time where they're just plotting and preying on people in adverse neighborhoods or neighborhoods that don't have a lot going on for themselves. So we see it all the time and it just stuck out to me. So I figure we speak on it. So again, you can't create a problem and then lock up the people who fall victim to the problem that you created. It's potential. If the problem wasn't there, they would have never had access to whatever you created and they wouldn't have done it. So let's look at it from that standpoint. So it's exploitation, definitely entrapment. And again, if the person steals the bike or in the situation in Chicago I spoke about with the truck, all of those items equal money. If they sell them, it's money. It's some sort of comfort that comes from taking that device, the bike, the cars, clothes, whatever it is. So listen, you can't just say, oh, well, a lot of insensitive people actually on that story would comment it that they know right from wrong, stealing is wrong, you shouldn't steal. So they almost blamed the kids for messing with the truck as opposed to the people who put the truck there to begin with to be messed with. So again, we know kids make poor decisions anyway. That's why a lot of times adults are responsible for the decisions that their kids make. But either way, if I'm short, if I'm hungry, and I'm walking past a car that has $200 on the seat, and like I said, my stomach is rumbling, haven't eaten, don't know when I'm gonna eat again. I might only had a handful of potato chips and a sip of soda from somebody all day, and I see $200 sitting on the seat of a car. Listen, survival kicks in, and anybody who's in that situation is gonna bust that window in, knowing that even if they know it's wrong. But it's not about wrong or right in that position. It's about having a need that's met, because needs come before knowing what's right or wrong. So you can't create a problem and then penalize the people who fall victim to the problem that you created. And just to make what I'm saying a little bit more crystal clear for anybody who's struggling to see. So like I said, that whole situation with the bait car, need to find out what the root of the bait truck, rather. Need to find out what the root problem is. Why do people decide to break into this truck? Once you find out what those problems and issues are, you can go ahead and try to find ways to fix those problems. And I'm going to tell this next story because we know that this is the necessary steps that needs to be taken to help these problems go away. So let's talk about the opioid addiction real quick. When it hit hard, the last few years, everybody knows it was people falling out on the streets, going viral with just being overdosing and all that sort of stuff. And primarily it hit the white community. So what did they do to solve the problem? One thing they didn't do was they didn't pour more opioids in the neighborhoods and then say, we're going to just lock up everybody who's using the opioids, which is essentially the same thing with like the crack epidemic. Just lock everybody up and keep locking them up. That's not what happened. Actually, what they did was they kind of started at the top, really. They went after the pharmaceutical companies, all these doctors and stuff writing prescriptions that's making the opioids even be able to flood the streets. So once they started at the top, so now you can reduce the amount of opioids that's hitting the streets. Once there's less opioids on the streets, then obviously there's going to be less people that has access to them, and there's going to be less people using them. So you can start already reducing your numbers from that point. Then on the backside or the other side, it wasn't viewed as being criminal. You investigate why people using these drugs, mental illness, or whatever it may be. And then once you determine why they're doing it, then they came up with treatment programs. So they treated it as if it was an illness as opposed to being criminal. So that's another way to help the problem. So if we're saying that the hood has all these problems with crime and they're stealing or whatever it may be, don't treat it as a criminal offense then. Treat it as like a clinical or like an illness and put things in place to help heal the illness. And that way the problem will go away. So if you do it like that, then you're talking about you can put a bait truck in the middle of the hood. Nobody's going to touch it because at that point, you've already eradicated the problem as to why they're willing to steal. Everybody's healed. And now nobody needs to steal a bait truck, just like with the opioids. If you heal everybody who's on these opioids and stop the problem stemming from them using it to begin with and get rid of the source, guess what? Can't use what you don't have and you're not going to use what you don't have a need for. So these are just some ways to stop exploitation. So we need to stop preying on especially people in poor neighborhoods, especially black people, creating scenarios where they can do crime, create crime and all sorts of other crazy stuff. A moment ago, I made mention of one of my novels, Black Boy Lost, Black Girl Adrift. And I actually speak about a scenario where we can end all of these different problems that we got in the hood. But it was specifically pertaining to the crack epidemic. So I use an analogy with a burger joint. So let's just say you in the story, you got a burger joint. They're making burgers, but the burgers are toxic. They're like making people sick. They're poisonous, whatever it is. But for some reason, people are addicted to them. They keep going back to the burger joint. So in the story, my solution to the problem is you can't just keep allowing this burger joint to keep selling burgers if they're killing the community. What should you do? The first thing you would do is shut down the burger joint. That's immediate. So once you shut down the burger joint and shut down any way that the burgers can be sold in the hood. So the first thing to do is go to the top. Go to the top and shut down the burger joint and anybody who's affiliated with the burger joint at the top. Now, simultaneously, all of those people who were hooked on those burgers that was making them sick, you have to heal those people who are making them sick. So you can't treat it as a criminal offense, because if you treat it as a criminal offense, then you're going to just lock those people up for a short period of time, never heal them, and then they're going to come back still looking for the burgers. And especially if you don't close the establishment that's selling those toxic burgers, then there's always going to be workers for the establishment and there's always going to be a need for the establishment to be there. So I liken that to how they treated the crack epidemic. They just locked people up, locked more people up, and never went at the source. They just kind of kept putting people in jail, never healed anybody, and just let millions of families be decimated from that problem. So again, go after the source. That's what we're talking about. What is the reason why this problem exists? Once you find out what the reason is, eradicate the problem, get rid of it, and then move forward. But listen, that's me. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Thank you, good people, for returning from that break. We're still here. We're talking about avoiding exploitation. That's what we're talking about, y'all. So we're going to talk about this next piece. We already spoke on that bait truck, those sort of things. But now we're going to talk about sexual exploitation, something that happens all the time. In the intro, I mentioned this one of the categories that we were going to speak on. So we're going to get right to it. Like I always do, I got a story or something from a movie or something like that where this thing has been prevalent and just kind of sitting on our chest. So let's talk about this movie entitled Set It Off. I'm sure everybody's familiar with it. If not, it's a movie from back in the day, the 90s. Queen Latifah stars in it. Jada Pinkett, Vivica Fox, and another young lady, Ellis. Can't remember her first name, but either way. Good flick. It's a heist movie. They're robbing banks and stuff like that. But before we get to the plot of the movie, doesn't really matter anyway, as far as the bank stuff. But here's what happens, the sexual exploitation part. So you have Jada Pinkett's character, whose name is Stoney. And she's in a, you know, financial bind, but she's making things happen. A lot of integrity as well, so she's just chilling. Then she has a younger brother named Stevie. So a younger brother, Stevie's like high school, senior age, trying to get to college, but Jada Pinkett doesn't have any money. Now, in the backdrop of this, you got another character, older gentleman from the hood named Nate. Now, the cat Nate, like I said, he's an older dude, got some paper, but he's a real felonious cat, almost a creepy dude in a sense. So you could tell he has some sort of sexual interest in Jada Pinkett's character, Stoney, and she's not really feeling him because he's an older cat and she just ain't on him like that. So he makes a couple advances. She kind of pushes him to the side, you know, doesn't acquiesce to his desires. So cool. As the story goes on, Jada Pinkett finds herself in a real predicament. Her brother needs a couple dollars to go to college, and she really wants him to go because he has to get out the hood, because if he doesn't, she feels that he'll fall victim to the lures of the streets, death, drug selling, all sorts of craziness that happens when people are in situations to be exploited. That's what we're talking about right now. So anyway, she touches back to the dude, Nate, because like I said, Nate has a couple dollars. Hey, Nate, let me get a couple dollars, my brother, this, that. Nate's like, well, listen, I mean, I can make that happen for you, but, you know, you got to do something for me. So now here's the sexual exploitation part. So like I said a minute ago, definition of exploitation, take advantage of somebody, have them in a position where one choice is just as bad as the other choice, or not taking the choice maybe worse than the other choice, whichever way it goes, you start between a rock and a hard place. So what does Jada Pinkett do? Does she potentially keep her brother from going to college and fall to the lures of the streets? Or does she just go ahead, give this dude Nate what he wants on the sexual tip, and then she'll get the money, her brother go to college, and she could put this thing behind her? So unfortunately, what Jada Pinkett does is she actually succumbs to the will of Nate and has sex with the guy. So he gives her the bread. As the story goes on, the brother ends up getting killed, doesn't go to college, and Jada Pinkett is just left with, she has sex with the dude Nate for nothing. So again, sexual exploitation is happening all the time. And I just picked an example from this movie because it was just sitting at the forefront of what we're talking about. But I mean, this is happening every day in hoods across America, you know, where people are just in bad situations. And because of the bad situation they're in, they're allowing themselves to be taken advantage of. Workplace, same sort of thing. I mean, you got a manager or something like that. You fear for your job. He's making advances. And then here you go. You just kind of go ahead and go with the flow because you need the job and you need the money. And you give in to his will. And unfortunately, it's almost like, you might as well call it rape. Exploitation is rape. And that's why this episode is on my heart to do, because we got to stop the exploitation. People getting taken advantage of, not because of anything other than just an adverse situation. And this movie started off as a real good flick. And not just from an action standpoint. Like I said, it's a bank robbery movie. I'm a heist movie fan anyway, but it really just touches on a lot of issues. One of the major things I take away from even other characters aside from Jada Pinkett's character is that the strange things that people do for money, how sometimes your life can be going straight, and then when your money is a problem, it's uprooted, something goes wrong with the finances, a lot of strange things start happening to people, or they start doing strange things to get that money back. And I'm just going to continue on with this movie. So even Vivica Fox character, lady by the name of Fran, she was a bank teller doing her thing. Monetarily, she was fine, just chilling, real upbeat, happy character. Pretty much as the movie starts, the bank she worked at got robbed. And then she got fired because she knew the dude who robbed the bank. And then from there, her finances started to suffer. And then she went from a law-abiding citizen to somebody who was robbing banks. Another character, like I said, this movie touches on a lot of issues just related to the finances. Another character named T.T. in the movie, she had a a kid and was going through custody issues. The state was going to take the kid because she didn't have money to do the things she needed to do as a mom. So what does she come up with to help problem solve and get what she needed to get a son? She joins Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett, and Vivica Fox in robbing these banks. Now, these are people who normally wouldn't have been into robbing banks, but financial situation mandated that they do something outside of their norm, and they did it. So, again, the finances. So what can we do since we know there's a problem that exists with having your funds and all that good stuff? Listen, we got to do what we can do to keep our money straight. It's just important. It's nothing. You can't go spending this bread without having money up, because it's going to put you in a real vulnerable situation, and somebody's going to come along and take advantage of that situation and potentially have you do some things that you shouldn't do. Even just to look further into this movie right here, we're talking about Set It Off. Even the ladies, while they were in the midst of their bank heist to cover their tracks a little bit, they were working for like a cleaning service. And the dude who was the owner of the cleaning service, cat named Luther. Another unsavory cat, to say the least, real shady individual. But anyway, he was another person who was exploiting the ladies because he basically knew that they were in a real harmful situation. They didn't have a lot going for themselves. Money was at a minimum. So what does he do? Instead of being just an upstanding cat, he mistreated them, talked to them any way he wanted to, and even threatened them throughout the movie, kind of sort of with them losing their job if they didn't do the things that he wanted them to do. So again, the finances especially are tied heavily into keeping yourself safe and free of exploitation. It seems like in life, you know, we got health issues, most cases. If we got our health good, then that's not something we don't have to worry about. The next thing seems to be finances, which is high up on the totem pole of things that people worry about the most. So my advice to anybody, like I was starting to say before, is that we need to be more mindful of the way we spend money. We need to be more mindful and intentional about putting money up, because we have to have rainy day money just for when things go awry. But you also need to save our money and, you know, try to get educated in certain things, whatever it is, learn to trade, drive a truck, go to college, whatever it is. Find ways to increase your salary and your ability to make more money, because more money you make, most cases, the better you're going to live. And the more money you have, the more access you have to things that are going to help you live better. Certain resources you can't afford with a little bit of money. So if you want to keep yourself out of the range of being exploited, find ways to maximize your earn potential, save your money, invest your money, spend your money wisely. And in that way, somebody can't come along and flash you $20, $30 and it's going to turn your head. If you do these things, that $20 or $30 won't mean anything to you, and your employer or whoever it may be, they can't take advantage of you. And most cases, when they know you got your money right, they won't even try, because they know you're not easily moved by a couple dollars. And it's unfortunate that we even got to have this conversation. But the character in this movie, Set It Off, and speaking of the dude named Nate, I mean, he exists in every hood across the world, if you want to say. But when people know that you're at a disadvantage and they're in a situation of prominence or in a elevated position from you, so they think, at least financially, they tend to move differently and they can use that bread against you. So stay away from those cats, because, like I said, they're definitely out there. But, you know, they're praying and they see a problem that exists and they're the answer. And they're willing to use it, their bread, to get what they want to get from it. So be careful out here. Also, I actually speak about this same thing in one of my books now that I'm thinking about it. Wrote a book entitled Workings of Deception. It's actually the end of my deception series, the last book of that installment. And it speaks to, in the dating scenario, dude is at the club and he's meeting women. I think it was college age women, as a matter of fact, who tend to not have much money because they're working on their schooling, trying to get to a better place. So, and it just speaks to the fact that dudes especially will come into these clubs, see females who are down in their luck, and they'll flash a couple dollars around and then use that to get where they want to get. And I'll be the first to admit, I guess in some instances, it's a fair trade. You know, she has something you want and you have something she wants, but But as long as it's not exploitive, you know, I'm just speaking to the females who may be a victim on this side of the thing. Don't be victimized. Don't be manipulated by these people who are out here trying to do things to get what they want and take from other people. And especially if it's going to be a knock to your self-esteem and potentially to your mental health, because that's really what's at stake when you start weighing the options of the things you did really might drag you down. So be careful. Also, I don't want to paint the picture like it's just men preying on women, because that's not the case either. There was actually a dude who I went to college with back in 04, 03 or whatever it was, back in the college days. And he wasn't, by most people's accounts and even his own, the way his self-esteem was set up, he wasn't the most attractive cat, had a good bit of weight on him. So just for him, he just wasn't feeling himself like that. And unfortunately, a lot of people weren't as well, just because society sometimes is harsh like that. Was a good dude, real good dude, actually, though, just on the personal level. He was a real good cat. So his plus was he had some bread, came from a pretty good family, had a couple dollars up, was one of the cats in college, especially early on, who had a car, had means to do the things that he wanted to do without having to beg for anybody or go without. So he was in a good position from that standpoint. Unfortunately, there were a lot of people, men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, whatever you want to call it, they were unfortunately using him for his vehicle, using him for his bread, using him for his grub that he had in his room. And unfortunately, he kind of knew what it was, but because he didn't have a lot of friends, because just of his physical appearance, he allowed it to happen. And it's really more of a shot to his mental health, because his mental health and the way he felt about himself is really what enabled those other people to exploit him. So why are we talking about this type of exploitation, this sort of mental health, when he did these things on his own volition, we'll say? Well, like I said a second ago, ultimately, the way he felt about himself is what allowed him to be used by other people. And we know people are prone to prey on people. So the people who knew that he felt certain way about himself, they used him. So the mental health piece. So this is what I'm speak to. So if you're one of those people who don't like the way you look, you don't feel good about yourself when you wake up, one of the ways you can keep yourself from being exploited, at least long term, is to go seek help. You need to go sit on the couch and talk to somebody, and maybe they can unlock some of these things as to why you feel the way you feel. And for my boy, his was, in his own calculation, was related to the way he felt about himself because of his weight. So we can just use his case in particular. If you're one of those people who you're just looking in the mirror and you're not liking the way you look, you're not liking what you see, based on weight alone, you need to get in the gym. Do things that's going to make you feel good about yourself. So lose that weight, eat right, get a plan. And that way, over time, you can start conquering your mental health issues and get on the right side of it. Because then if you feel good about yourself and you're confident in the steps you take day to day, most cases, nobody's going to be able to take advantage of you. No exploitation. You're going to move how you want to move. And people probably treat you better as well, because they know that they can't take advantage of you. So again, do things. If you don't like yourself, your mental illness is suffering, mental health is suffering, do things that's going to get you better. But the first thing you need to do, like I'm talking about, is identify the problem. And if you can't identify the problem on your own, go sit down on somebody's couch. Mental health is real. There's a lot of counselors out here who are willing to sit down and problem solve and get you on the right side or right path. So do that. And hopefully you can cut down this exploitation, because it's not just sexual. It's definitely monetary. It's definitely people getting exploited, like I said, with the bait truck, all sorts of stuff going on out here. So listen, we're going to take a quick break. This is me. This is Ryan Hodge. This is Level Up. Be back in a minute, y'all. Yo, 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 we back. Once again, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We've just been spitting for the last half hour and some change on avoiding exploitation. How can we keep ourselves from being taken advantage of? That's what we're talking about, y'all. Level Up is always about being better. So listen, we're going to talk some more, though. So what we're talking about this segment right here, we're talking about relationships, how to not be exploited in a relationship. Now, happens all the time. Unfortunately, you know, these things just go down and people aren't savory. They move how they want to move. So sometimes in relationships, you got a dude maybe domineering, may have a woman who's domineering, controlling, whichever way it goes. But that's what we're talking about this segment. So I want to say, since we're talking about avoiding it, one of the things that people tend to use over people's head is money. In relationships, they do it too. So if you're a guy, the guy makes, he's the breadwinner, as we say, the guy brings home the bacon. He's paying all the bills. And, you know, it's all good. He doesn't want his lady to work. So it is what it is. Or vice versa, for that matter. But we're talking about the men not work, or men working and the woman not working. So, you know, sometimes you can end up in a situation where you don't have any money. All of the money you have is related to the money he brings in and to that account, joint account, or if it's not even a joint account, maybe it's be the money that he gives you. So that right there, since we're talking about avoiding exploitation, that right there could be a recipe for disaster. You're not married, you are married, doesn't really matter. But the main thing is you don't have anything. You don't have any bread to do the things that you want to do. You have to ask somebody else. So that puts you in a position of inferiority in a sense, because you don't have what you need to do the things that you need to do. So you could be opening yourself up to be exploited. Now, when the person who's the breadwinner, especially if you don't work at all, if they don't want to give you any money, what do you do? What can you do? You really don't have many options because you don't have a way to provide for yourself in that sense. So what am I going to suggest, obviously, to avoid this situation? I really think if you're in a relationship, especially not married, but even if you are married and you guys aren't running a business and making buku bread a year or whatever you want to call it, both parties should work. Because if you're both putting in, then you're not necessarily relying on somebody else to make it happen for you. And that will definitely keep the possibility of being exploited. It will keep it down, if not remove it altogether. You at least won't be exploited for not having any money. Now, that will open up the door for a whole bunch of other problems if you are exploited for money, because now you can't move how you want to move. If the dude is telling you to sit in the house, you really don't have any money to go anywhere anyway. So he or she can really hinder your movements just from the financial standpoint. And I'll say this, for my relationship, one of the dopest things about my relationship is that I know that my lady doesn't need me for anything as far as finances goes. You know, she's here because she wants to be here, and I am too. And that's real reassuring and comforting to know that you're not with somebody because you need them, you need their bread or to make it happen for you. So it'll just put your mind at ease in a lot of regards. So that's my advice on that. Not to mention the extra bread that's in-house anyway can just move a couple of forward years ahead. I mean, you can pay off cribs, cars, use one salary for bills and saving and the other one to save a little, spend a little. That's only going to create more health to the relationship anyway. So it's always a good look to do that, in my opinion. And just to rock a little bit further with the relationship piece, about exploitation. Listen, nobody in any relationship should be working harder than the other. So here's how it should go. I mean, to keep yourself from being exploited, you may be good at something, she may be good at something, and you two master those two things and you bring those to the table, and everybody does their part. But like I said, to keep yourself from being exploited, nobody should be working harder than the other. It shouldn't be a 90% of one person doing one thing and 10% of the other person doing the other thing. Nah, or 100% of somebody doing something and 0% the other way. Nah, it needs to be a working relationship where each party is putting in, especially if they have a specialty. Do your specialty and the other things you guys work out on your own. And really, it should be the same thing with familial relationships as well. No family member should be working harder for the other family members. Everybody should be putting in their 10%, 20% or whatever it takes to make it work. But definitely, it shouldn't be I take you here, take you there, then I need you to do something for me, but then you don't because you know I'll do it anyway, and then next week you call me up to do something else for you. So it really shouldn't be that either, because people will take advantage of you in that regard, just like I said about the dude in college. They'll let you do all of the work as long as they reap all of the benefits. So make sure nobody is taking advantage of you in that regard either. Make sure they're putting in work for you, and you'll put in work for them. Their relationships should be real easy. Nobody's doing anything too toilsome or cumbersome. If it's real easy, everybody's taking it in stride, holding each other down, holding each other accountable for the things they do. And when they don't do it, you got to call them on it. Because, again, only way you're going to keep yourself from being exploited. And the world is a real crazy place. It's so shot out here that, you know, we're talking about different types of exploitation. But somebody even use you just to stay with you. You know, they may not have a place to stay, nowhere to go, and they may single you out. And it could be a family member. It could be a person you're dating. You know, there's like a running joke. As it's October, you know, the weather's about to change. There's a running joke on social media like, hey, ladies, be careful. These dudes need a place to stay for the winter. So, you know, as comical as that may seem, it's actually true, because people would use you for anything that they don't have. And that may be a place to stay. So be careful as, you know, the weather starts to change. People will be asking to come stay with you for a little bit. And that's all good if you open your crib to them. But make sure they don't just get to take advantage of you. If you do open your crib to these people, make sure they're not eating up all your food. Make sure they're being cleanly. They're not all in your space. Just hold them to some sort of standard and communicate it on the front end. Keep yourself from being taken advantage of. And if they don't do the things they said they would do, they have to go. Real simple stuff. It's going to cut down on some headache for you and potentially keep you from having to put your hands on somebody, you dig? So just hold them accountable, yo. And if they're not in a situation where they have any money to pay you for rent or whatever you want to call it, at least make sure they're doing some chores. They got to do some cleaning, taking out the garbage. But whatever it is that you have them doing, they can't just be making things worse. That's out of the question, because that's part of the exploitation. Once people see that you'll allow certain things to happen for whatever reason, they'll keep on doing those things and won't help out if you don't allow them to, or don't force them to, I should say. So dig, we're going to take a quick break and I'll be back in a minute. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, everybody, we're back. You know what to do. We're back from the break. We're talking about avoiding exploitation, maybe sexual, maybe monetary, but we've been talking about it. And I know y'all hear that music, so you know what that means. It's almost time to go. But before we close it out, man, like I said, do things to avoid being exploited. If it's mental illness, you know, go sit down and talk to somebody. That'll help you feel better about yourself and keep people from being able to mistreat you. A lot of times, exploitation comes from money or lack thereof. So take those courses, learn that trade, a skill, whatever it is, to get the paper in your pocket, so that way you can't be manipulated because you're short on funds. Just all sorts of stuff like that, man. If you're in a relationship, I say have your own bread, even the joint accounts. Whatever, that doesn't matter, but have your own money, be able to provide for yourself and not have to lean on somebody for everything that you need to do. It'll be better for your mental health, and it'll be better for your relationship. Also, you got somebody staying with you? Hey, make them earn their keep. Do what they need to do to be in your spot. Don't be taken advantage of. That's what we're talking about, y'all. Don't be taken advantage of. Be mindful, be on point, and hold yourself down. You're better than being exploited. But listen, we're going to get out of here, y'all. It's been another good episode. Hope we drop some knowledge, some science. But before we get out of here, we got to thank Hindsight Media Radio for making this all possible. We do appreciate it. Also, I want to thank myself. I'm joking, but I want to thank me for being on the show today. Rock this joint by myself, holding it down. Listen, before I slide, I did mention a couple of my books this time. Hey, check that website out. some stuff in there to learn about game life, whatever it is, sisterhood, relationships, jokes, and all sort of stuff. Either way, RyanHodgeBooks.com for all your reading needs. And listen, it's been another good episode. This has been Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Good looking out, y'all. Till next week. Later.